Holy God, may this your word give us power to comprehend with all the saints the length and width, the height and depth of the love of Christ and fullness of life in you. Amen. Well, we begin our scripture readings this morning with a reading from the book of Psalms, the 14th Psalm. David reprimands those who live godless lives, and he also warns those who do not call upon the name of the Lord. Let us listen to the words of our Lord. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad. Our second reading is a familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000, and is found in all four of the gospel texts. Today we read John's account, found in the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 21. Let us listen together to the holy word of our Lord. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." And so they gathered them up. And from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, what's not to like about today's gospel story? It's an account of just one of Jesus' many miracles as he lived among God's people on earth, and is one of the only stories included in all four of the gospel accounts found in the Bible. We can then assume that it was a very important and very vivid story, integral to the lessons that Jesus taught to God's people. And it's also one of those stories where different details are shared depending on the writing of the gospel writer. John's account features the offering of a young man who enabled the large crowd to be fed with plenty to spare. In general, we all love experiences with food, don't we? Whether we are providing a meal or enjoying a meal, memories involving food seem to stick with us a little bit longer. Think about the memories you remember just from the smell of a certain recipe or baked good or dessert. Maybe it's something that your grandmother made or your mom or a special aunt. Is there anything else more satisfying than enjoying a meal that smells wonderful and tastes good and doesn't involve us having to prepare it, right? Think about how many moments we celebrate that contain some element of food. Today, my granddaughter will be celebrating her first birthday with, of course, cupcakes and cake. I miss the popcorn at the movie theaters, that wonderful smell of popped corn, of course, with the butter on it. Or think about how often, after winning a game, you've taken your kids to eat pizza. Just a few examples of how food has a way of marking something special. Well, in John's account today, I'm not sure anything feels special to the disciples. I have a feeling it feels more stressful than special. They look all around them, and they see thousands upon thousands of people walking towards them. It says the feeding of the 5,000, but generally that means that only the men have been counted. If you're thinking about the women and children, we're talking about 10 to 15,000 people. And we don't know how long this crowd has been following Jesus and the disciples, but it seems to be growing in number as Jesus continues to heal the sick. Jesus and the disciples sit together upon a mountain, and it seems at that point the disciples begin to panic. Maybe it's at that moment that they have actually looked behind them and noticed an increasing crowd of people following them. Their panic moves to fear. How can they possibly meet the needs of all these people, beginning with their need to eat? It seems likely that they themselves, the disciples, must be careful with the resources they have among them, so that they can provide for their own needs. And now they have Jesus asking them to meet the current need of the crowd to be fed. It seems like a human reaction to look at what we lack before we look at what we have. We count the cost before we count the reward. We forget, as Carrie reminded us in the children's chat, that we have more than enough. So when Jesus asks Philip where bread can be bought for the gathering crowd, Philip responds, "There is no way possible the disciples can feed God's people. It's too expensive." Philip is feeling the lack of his resources and the enormity of the need around him. And he makes the mistake that so many of us often make by claiming an ability to meet the needs around us because we are sure that we do not have enough resources. Philip kind of sounds like churches that say, "Well, we don't have the budget, we don't have the staff, we don't have the energy or the equipment, and we certainly don't have the time." But Jesus just shakes his head. He knows very well what he is going to do. So maybe this is a test for his disciples, trying to break them out of the shortage mentality. Another disciple named Andrew does just a little bit better. He at least identifies someone around him who might have something to offer. "Well, there's a boy here," he says, "who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." We can give Andrew some credit. At least he points to a possible solution, but then he also falls into the shortage mentality and sighs, "But what are they among so many people?" Jesus knows what to do. "Make the people sit down," he says to the disciples. And then Jesus takes those 5 barley loaves and he gives thanks to God and he distributes the bread to all the people sitting in the grass. And then he also distributes the 2 fish and gives them as much as they want, filling them all until they are completely satisfied. It's a quality miracle. It's a miracle of abundance. Then, to stress that there is much more in this meal than anyone could eat, Jesus has the disciples gather up the leftovers, and John tells us that they fill 12 baskets to the top. Well, of course, the people are impressed. We all would be impressed if we were witness to this miracle. And they begin to say among themselves, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And yet they have no idea, even in that moment, the vastness of God's love that will meet their needs through the life of Jesus Christ. The feeding of the 5,000 shows the abundance of God's care for us. It reminds us that God does not want us to go hungry or to lack anything that we really need for life. But then there are also times when God wants crowds of hungry people to be fed, literally and figuratively. And sometimes God wants that done by us and by other people of faith. When I read this gospel text in John, I always think about the boy who had the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. We don't know why he had that amount. Perhaps it was to feed his family who had gathered to hear Jesus, or maybe it was food he was bringing home to his family. Maybe that's the food that would feed them for the coming week. Except rather than reaching home, he gets caught in a crowd of Jesus seekers. Call it what you will, being at the right place at the right time, being at the wrong place at the wrong time. But the boy is identified by Andrew as someone who has what everybody needs. Not even this boy could have imagined that his small collection of food could ever feed thousands and thousands of people. And yet we get no indication that he clung tightly to his food, unwilling to share. It seems to be that the boy gives what he has. And when some would say it was little, Jesus says it is enough. All it takes is for us to be willing to share what we have. And the love of God can make it grow in a way that we bless others, often more than we can ever imagine helping. Looking deeper into this story, we can see that the feeding of the 5,000 also reveals God's desire to give us the bread of life. The quality of this miracle is seen in its abundance, yes, but also in its gift of Jesus. "I am the bread of life," Jesus says just a little later in the Gospel of John. "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." Jesus wants our physical hunger to be satisfied, but even more, he wants to fulfill our spiritual hunger. Jesus' focus is quality, not quantity. Feeding the whole person and not just filling a stomach. Jesus is not just bread, but Jesus is the bread of life. And yet Jesus cares so much for us that he understands there are times when we are just physically hungry. And he can provide that as well. The quality of this bread is revealed right after the feeding of the 5,000. When the disciples get into a boat and start traveling across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, John tells us that the sea becomes rough because a strong wind is blowing, and they are rowing hard across water that is deep and deadly. And then they see Jesus walking across the rough water, and he says to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." On a dark and dangerous night, Jesus again fills them with the gift of his presence and power. The feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water are both quality miracles. They show us the abundance of God's care for us. The desire of God is to give us the bread of life. And the promise is that Jesus will be with us in the darkest and scariest moments of our lives. During the month of August and one week in September, as I mentioned in our announcements, the Mission and Evangelism Committee will be hosting a five-week experience featuring worship, dinner, and a presentation from some of the local organizations that we financially support. And each Thursday beginning August 5th, all of you are invited to enjoy a prepared meal as you learn about the work of local agencies helping God's people. The idea was born out of a new community projects team that has been meeting to discern new opportunities to meet the needs in Lewistown, whatever they may be. Inspired by the decades-long mission work of Highland Park Presbyterian Church and gifted with a generous donation made by their congregation at their closure, we are discerning where we might engage in new mission projects that meet the needs of local youth and families. But before we know where God may call this church to begin new projects, those of us who have been discerning together also recognize that we all need to know more about the organizations that we have been supporting through Lewistown Presbyterian Church. And not just know them based on the amount of money we give through the church budget or through the deacons, not that that's not important, but we desire to know their goals and their dreams and their prayers for a brighter future. And we want all these mission organizations, those we call our mission partners, to know Lewistown Presbyterian Church beyond the check that they might receive in the mail. We want them to know that our actions match our financial giving, that we are a church family who desires to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, quite literally and not just figuratively. And we know that it is important for us to engage with them by using not only our treasure, but our time and talents too. Now, of course, many of you are already offering your time and talents to these organizations, but we know more of us could be as well. Or at the very least, maybe we can work together to bring church members who have been absent from our church activities. Maybe we can bring them back to engaging with us in new and existing partnerships. And so the Neighbor's Table is being offered in August. And I think it's a great way for all of us to learn more about the needs of area organizations, especially how those needs have changed post-pandemic. It's sort of like Jesus is seated with us as we look upon the crowd of God's people closing in around God's church, and Jesus is asking us how we might make sure that they are fed. Now, we could answer like Philip and explain, well, it's just too much for us to handle, especially in a post-pandemic world where we are trying to figure out our own security as individuals and as a church family. We could suggest the needs might be met by someone else or by another church community because we fear the challenges of serving in new ways. But wouldn't it be amazing to simply respond with a proclamation of what we have, our abilities, our time, and our income, and then trust that God will take all of those offerings and accomplish more than we can ever imagine? That's the God I serve, and I pray that you do too. A God who can take what feels like our smallest offering and can increase it abundantly, can increase it for more than enough. I pray that we might not respond in fear when Jesus asks us to provide, but that we can learn to respond together with the kind of trust that comes from knowing the one who abundantly gives and gives, who has given to us and asks us to give to others. To God be the glory. Amen. Let us continue with our worship as we join together in a song of praise, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Please stand if you are able.